This podcast is brought to you by Friends of Compassion Podcast.
Open our Bibles to John chapter 10. John chapter 10, let's look at verse 1. This is Jesus talking, the Lord talking. So let's hear what he's saying. Verily, verily, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. Good stuff. To him, that is the shepherd, to him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. Verse 6. Jesus used this illustration, but they did not understand the things which he spoke to them. The part I want us to focus on today is verse 3. To him, the shepherd, to him, the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. We, God's people, God's children, one characteristic that we have in the Bible, what we are, is like this. We are sheep. We are not goats. We are sheep. And he is the shepherd. And this shepherd, he calls his own sheep by name. Let's look at another scripture from Matthew chapter 13. Let's look at verse 44. Matthew 13, verse 44. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden where? In the field, which a man found and hid, and for joy over it, over what? The treasure. For the joy over the treasure, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. You know, in terms of parables could have many meanings to them. Yes, could have many sides to one parable. But I heard he said, the kingdom of heaven is like a Christian who is so hungry for God's kingdom, so hungry for God's anointing, and that he pays the price for it. So in this context, for him, the anointing is the treasure. And then he sells all that he has, that is paying the price to get that anointing. Well, that didn't really sit well with me, because the truth of the matter is that we don't pay the price for the anointing. I know, we've heard so many teachings about paying the price, but when you check the scriptures carefully, it's not like that. Everything that we receive as children of God is by grace, is free. For example, the Lord said, freely you have received, freely give. That is purely grace. And talking about the anointing, we don't pay a price for the anointing. The price has already been paid by Jesus Christ on the cross with his blood. So anyone who receives Jesus Christ becomes the anointed or is anointed. For example, the Apostle John puts it this way. He said, you have an anointing. 1 John 2 verse 20. You have an anointing. And this anointing teaches you all things, or you have an anointing and you know all things. He said you have an anointing. Another truth is this. When we receive Jesus Christ, we receive the Holy Spirit to come and live inside us. When the Holy Spirit came, the anointing came. Yeah. When the Holy Spirit came, the anointing came. And so, looking at what he was saying here, I think there is more to this scripture. Let's look at this again. He said again, the kingdom of heaven is like treasure. Mind you, the one who is given this parable is our Lord Jesus Christ. And he has been with the Father, in the bosom of the Father. And he knows the Father. And so he's telling us something that we should take note of. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field. Human beings are treasures. There is nothing in this world that touches God's heart more than man. Nothing. For example, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that anyone who believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God so loved the world. World of who? World of sinners. No world of trees and plants. No, no, no. World of human beings. Sinners. Man. So treasure here could mean man. The field could be the world, which a man found. This man could be our Lord Jesus Christ. He found, and for the joy over us, he goes and sells all he had. So Jesus Christ, when he came, he left all his glory behind and became man in the likeness of sinful flesh, as the Bible says. He became like us, dwelt among us. The word became flesh and dwelt among us. As the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth, he became like us. He left all his glory for the joy over it. And it is like this. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, and listen to this part, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. Who was the joy? You and I. He rejoices over us with singing. For the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame. And he is seated at the Father's right hand, far above all principality and power and might. We are the treasure. The field is the world. And Jesus Christ left his glory and bought us with his blood, precious blood. Amen. The whole point is this. I want you to understand how valuable you are to him. Because you really matter to God. And that is why God sent his son. For example, if God did not spare his own son for you, if God did not spare his son, but he delivered him for you, how shall not with him also freely give you all things? You matter to God. Sometimes you feel like you are just a face in the crowd, sometimes, or a number in the system. That's the system we have today. You are identified by your social security number. Even when you see the doctor, you are called by your queue number. If you feel depersonalized and dehumanized, I'm using big words here. That is exactly how the devil wants you to feel. He wants you to feel like you don't count, you're a face in the crowd. That is where he wants us to be. He wants us to be sad. He wants us to be unhappy in life. He wants us to be agitated and upset. And if a man is upset and agitated in this way, such a man cannot live long in this world. And that is what he has come to do. He has come to steal, kill, and to destroy. But our Lord said, I am come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. So the devil wants you to make you feel like you don't matter to anyone. You don't matter to anyone. In fact, sometimes he wants you to feel like you don't even matter to God. But I'm here to tell you, you do matter to God. He calls you by your name. That's affectionate. He calls you by name. He knows exactly what you're going through right now and where you are hurting. And God offers help to you in times of your need. He sees you and cares for you. just as he cared for the people when he first walked on the earth. He's our Lord. People might not care for you that much, but God cares for you. That is why he gave you his beloved son. God gave you his beloved son, Jesus, to die for you. He was handed over to die because of our sins. And he was raised to life to make us right with God. What I just quoted is in Romans 4 verse 25. God did this because we matter to him. We were sinners. You and I. We were sinners. He did not spare even his own son for us, but gave him up for us all. Won't he also surely give us everything else? Since you matter to God, he gave you his beloved son, in whom I hid all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and he has put you in his son. This makes you complete. Nothing missing, nothing lacking, nothing wanted. Because you matter to God, he gave you his Holy Spirit to dwell in you forever, to help you in every endeavor in this life, and to strengthen you with might. This makes you strong and tough on the inside to face life, circumstances, and demonic activities, and still win because of the greater one who lives in you. 3. Because you matter to God, he supplies all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. You don't have to be fearful, anxious, or worried about your family, your job, your academics, and your future. You don't have to. God has you covered because you matter to him. Leave your worries to him. Leave your cares to him. Leave your concerns to him. Leave your anxieties to him. Leave it in his hands because he cares for you. It's 1 Peter 5 verse 7, and I'm quoting this from the Amplified Version. This is what it says. Casting all of your cares, all of your worries, all of your anxieties, all of your concerns upon him, because he cares for you affectionately and he cares about you watchfully. See that? He cares about you watchfully. He cares for you affectionately. He cares about you watchfully. My friend, he will do for you what he did for the woman in Samaria. What Jesus did for the woman in Samaria, he will do the same for you. The Bible talks about in John chapter 4 that there was a shorter route from Judea to Galilee. But the Bible says that Jesus needed to go through Samaria. In other words, Jesus deliberately took a longer route or a longer route. American and UK, okay? A longer route, so that he could stop by Samaria to speak to the woman who had been searching for something in her life to satisfy her. This woman has a background. This woman had had five husbands. Five husbands. And the man that she was living with was not her husband. You can say that this is adultery to the highest. Sin at its fullness. Completely sinful. See, clearly things had not been going right in her life. She was probably looking for answers and fulfillment and must have felt ashamed about her failed marriages and current lifestyle. And this is the whole point of the Lord's coming. The Lord himself said, the Son of Man has come to seek and to save the lost. That is why he came, to seek for sinners. We don't have to sack sinners from the church. We should let them come in and receive Jesus Christ. And when they receive his life and nature, they will change. You don't try and push things down their throat. If they change, then they can come. No, that's not the gospel. It is the gospel that changes them. When they receive Jesus Christ, they are changed from the inside and there will be fruits. If the root is good, the fruit will be good. If the root is bad, the fruit will be bad. And so when they receive Jesus Christ into their heart, that is the core, their heart, it will affect their behavior, their conduct, their actions. This woman was an example. Jesus Christ came to look for, in fact, Jesus Christ intentionally, deliberately took the longer route. Why? Because of a sinful woman who is living in adultery. In spite of all this, in spite of all of her sinful lifestyle, she mattered to Jesus. Jesus needed to go to her to minister to her, to help her. And indeed, after she met Jesus, the perfect man, she was transformed. It is what happens to anyone who receives Jesus Christ. I'm not talking about those who talk about you receive Jesus Christ and their life has never been touched. I'm talking about that. I'm talking about the one that from their heart received the Lord Jesus Christ and truly they've been transformed by it. Of course, anyone who receives Jesus Christ, we have to see the fruit. But for some, you wonder, did they really receive Jesus Christ? In fact, sometimes, this is what I should say. The fact that we see people in church doesn't mean that they are born again. Somebody said, if you park a bicycle in a garage, it doesn't make the bicycle a car. So if somebody goes to church, it doesn't mean that that person is born again until the person receives the lordship of Jesus Christ, until the person receives what Jesus Christ did on the cross for them, they will never change. This woman met Jesus. She met the perfect man and she was transformed. She was no longer ashamed, no longer, and went into the city to tell the people about him. Mind you, she usually goes to the well at noon. Maybe she doesn't want to see other women early in the morning to gossip about her. She doesn't have friends, maybe. So she goes at noon where the sun is very hot at its peak. That's the time she would sneak out to go fetch water. So in a sense, she was hiding from people. But when she met Jesus, she went into the city to tell people about Jesus. Somebody who was hiding from the crowd. Now he's running to the crowd to talk to the crowd. Why? He has met the perfect man, Jesus Christ. This sinner mattered to Jesus. I'm sorry, I don't care what you've done. I don't care what you're going through. You matter to Jesus. And you are the reason why he came. Do you have a shady background like this woman? Or do you have a secret sins? Secret sins that you hope no one gets to know? My friend, God knows all about you. He knows all about your secret sins. And he still says to you, I love you. Even in that condition. Are you going to receive his love to change you, to transform you? He loves you. Unconditionally, he loves you. Jesus came a long way from heaven for you and for me. You certainly matter to him. You matter to him. He came to give you life and life more abundantly. This is what he came to give. He came to give you life in its fullness. He came to give you real and eternal life. More than you can expect. You are not just a face in the crowd or a number. No. He knows you by name and has a personal love for you. In spite of the mess which you might be in right now, he wants to meet your every need and make your life beautiful. You matter to him. That's what I want to say right now. God loves you. In this is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son, Jesus Christ, to be the propitiation for our sins. Yes. He came to look for us. Let's read this scripture again. Romans chapter 4, verse 25. Jesus was handed over to die because of our sins. And he was raised to life to make us right with God. See? His death and his resurrection. This is it. He was delivered for our sins and he was raised to life to make us right with God. This is Romans chapter 4, verse 25. And the next verse is Romans chapter 5, verse 1. And this is what it says. we are justified. We are made right by faith. We are justified by faith. We are made right by faith. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because we matter to Him. Because we are treasures to Him. Hallelujah. And wherever you are listening to this, and you want to receive this Jesus into your life. You want to make Him your Lord. You want to come home to the Father's love. You want to say amen to what Jesus Christ did on the cross for you, for your sins. Pray this prayer after me. Say, dear God, I thank you for sending your Son Jesus Christ to come die for me. I believe in my heart that you, God, you raised Him from the dead. I confess with my mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord over my life from today. I receive your eternal life now, and I ask for your Holy Spirit to come and dwell in me and live in me. Thank you, God, for loving me. Thank you for accepting me. In Jesus' name, amen. Congratulations, if you prayed that simple prayer, you are now a child of God. You're welcome to this great family, and God bless you. I want to pray a prayer for you right now. Now, may the God of peace, who brought up our Lord Jesus Christ from the dead, the great shepherd of the sheep, make you complete in every good work, make you perfect in every way to do His will, working in you what is well pleasing in His sight, and no weapon formed against you shall prosper, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thank you for downloading this podcast. If you were helped in any way by this episode, please give us your review and subscribe to receive latest messages like these. If you want to contact us on a personal level, please send us an email to the email address in the description below. We would love to hear from you. Keep on hearing and keep on growing. And remember that God is your Father. Stay tuned for the next episode.